Let me remind you of our cafe. You know, it's called Cafe 242. You know why it's called Cafe 242? Nobody even knows why it's called Cafe 242. Inquiring minds might want to take a look on the inside and up. There's a scripture, Acts 2:42, and it says this. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This is the early church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It didn't say Jesus' doctrine. That's kind of strange, but it is Jesus' doctrine that was preached by the apostles. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and this great gospel. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. That means you and I need to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. What's the apostles' doctrine? Well, it's not some man-made creed that we put on a wall. The apostles' doctrine is the Bible. Particularly Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and all the rest of the New Testament. That's the apostles' doctrine. We need to be firm in it and continue in it. We don't need a new one. You don't need another testament. You don't need another gospel. You don't need a new thing. You know, sometimes you get around Christians and they're so bored with the old thing, they're always wanting a new thing. Well, God's doing a new thing. What would that be? He's spoken to me, he's doing a new thing. Usually that's said by people that aren't having very good success with this thing. It's the truth. God's doing a new thing. I know there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about God, behold, I do a new thing. That was in the Old Testament. Now the newest thing is Jesus Christ. The newest thing is still Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, Holy Spirit, baptism for all people. And spreading the gospel around the world to the next person who doesn't know about that new thing. And sure, there's times when God may say that and do a new thing. But let's not need that. The truth is, the old thing is the new thing, and it's just as good or better than any other new thing. And the truth is, there is no new thing under the sun. So God's doing a new thing, and what would that be? Well, as soon as you do that, I know where you're going. You're flying away. You're flying far from the apostles' doctrine. You're flying away from the Word of God. You're trying to get more spiritual than Jesus himself. It went pretty stern pretty quickly in here, didn't it? I was just trying to do a nice, lighthearted. Continue in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, now listen, if you're new here or if you're a new Christian, you need to know a few things about what we do and what we have here, because most of us don't know what we don't know until somebody tells us what we don't know. You didn't know anything about God until somebody told you something about God. You didn't know what was going to happen today in church till you got here. And while we sit and listen to the Word of God being taught and preached, we don't know what we're going to hear that's going to change our life. As a Christian, we don't know what's next. We have to ask the question to ourselves. We have to be open to answers. And then we have to put ourselves in a place consistently where we can hear new things that the Lord wants to tell us. Amen. Not new in the scheme of things, new to me, which would be from the Bible. So just so you know, let me mention a few things that we have available here at church that many people, you know, don't know. You know, we send out emails and notifications and all sorts of things to all the church people and all the guests that come. How many of you have ever received an email? How many of you ever opened that email? How many of you open every email? The hands are dwindling. How many open some email? We do that to communicate everything that's happening around here so that we can stay together and things. We don't have time to call you personally and remind you that there's a special thing coming. So hopefully you hear most of it here, but also we send emails so you should know about all these things, especially if you've been through our membership partnership class. But we have a thing called Spiritual Growth Plan, and you'll see it on the Connect card that if you're interested in that, we'll give you information. And what it is, it's an online course that we've set up where you have categorized sections to know what to do. Because a new Christian should be thinking, where do I start? What do I learn next? Even an old Christian should be saying, is there anything that I've missed? What next piece of knowledge do I need from God? Well, first of all, you could walk through the faith store. We have the faith store not so that we can earn a little side money. It's because you need resources and you need somebody that's helped you find the right resources. Not that it's the only thing that you need, but it's the stuff that we're comfortable with, that we've used, that we know that we could trust. So it's in there. So you need to peruse through the faith store and take a look at titles and books and topics and think to yourself, what is it that I need to learn next? What do I need some extra faith in? Where am I not, you know, you don't even know half the topics that you need. And then you need to not just go off the title, go with your spirit. There's some titles in there that's going to look pretty boring because all you get is a few words. And we don't have time to make it dramatic and catchy and cute so that you'll get it. Like if it says faith. Faith.
Hallelujah.
I already have faith. If it says prayer, I pray every day. That's kind of boring, right? Do we have to make it fancier before somebody will take the book? Sure is quiet in here. And the reason I say this is because you're going to run into some titles that look very, very elementary, like love, the power of the love of God. Yeah, that's nice. We, for years, we had a series called The Fear of the Lord. Ugh. The fear of the Lord tends to life and will prolong your days. That's too long of a title. So people, don't be carnal when you're picking spiritual material. Don't be carnal. Be spiritual. You know, sometimes you see series. We got series that we've preached before. Like, have you ever heard two bad sermons from us in a row? Maybe one, but two? All of those things are what we've done and preached. They're all great, but you won't know it until you plug them in. And if you don't like CDs, we have USBs. And if you don't have that, we have it all online. We got our YouTube channel. We've got all things. We got series online. You need to be familiar with the online resources that we have. We've got all sorts of stuff out there. You need to find us on YouTube. You need to go look at our favorites page on the website. You need to be a digital person. At least half of you should be digital people. The other half should be reading books and using your VHS cassette player. Somehow you got to get the revelation from God's word. Somehow you need some teachers and preachers to speak to your life. It's the only way that I'm here. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for cassette tapes. I would not be here. I would still be in the business world. I'd be a Christian, but I'd still be in the business world. I wouldn't have been turned on to God, wouldn't have had the revelation and the light that I needed to step into God's will. Not that that's going to make everybody go in the ministry. I'm just saying my life wouldn't be the same if I hadn't got the revelation from cassette tapes. Of course, books and the Bible itself and all that. But you need to learn. We all need to learn, and we need to do it quicker. So we have our spiritual growth plan. It's just got all the sectioned book reading recommendations, plus videos to watch, et cetera, et cetera. We will be revamping that at some point soon. But it's for your online use individually. Or you could get a friend and spend some extra time. Okay, so you know that we have those things. If you need help finding anything, or if you're wondering, I wonder if they've done any teaching on Revelation. Yeah, we've got some teaching on Revelation. A lot of good teaching on Revelation. So email the church if you can't find something, and we'll help you get the topic that you need. Sometimes, here's another aspect of what we have here at church. Okay, some people come to church first time, and their first thought is, I need to meet with the pastor and get some counseling. Really, that's not what you need. That's what you think you need, but that's not exactly what you need. What you need is to come again next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Wednesday, and the next Sunday, and the next Wednesday, and the next Sunday, and the next Wednesday, for about 2 months. And most likely, your life will be helped without having to have a personal meeting with the pastor. Because most of our help comes from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. As you give yourself to sitting under the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can take that Word and plant it into your heart, and it can grow and become life inside you. That's where your help comes from. It's from learning truth. Jesus said that you will be my disciples if you continue in my Word. You'll be my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is what sets you free, and you get the truth by being open to the truth at church week after week after week, doing, not just hearing it, but doing it. That makes sense? So it's not that you need counseling, special time from the pastors. Occasionally, you might need that. Typically, that's not really what you need. Sometimes it's what people want, so we give it to them, we try a little bit, and then we end up sending them an email with teachings. Because we've already taught on this subject. What you need is 5 hours of teaching on the love of God. That's what you need. Troubles at home, troubles at work, troubles in my own soul. 5 hours of teaching on the love of God is what you need. You need that more than bringing the pastors into your troubles so that you can be mad at them too. There's a lot of motives why people think they need counseling, and a lot of it's to get somebody else in on strengthening them up against whatever problem they've had. The Word of God's supposed to do that. Faith for finances, you can get that from the Word of God. The pastors don't need to know all your money struggles. We know you got them. Everybody's got some sort of money struggle. We understand that. That's why we're preaching so heavily, trying to help people have some faith toward God as your source. Because until you can turn the light on that God is your source and He will never let you have go without, until you can get that straight, there's no money help from God or me. We do have benevolence help for some, but part of that benevolence help is you have to click the box, you have to check the box that says, I promise I will read the Prosperity 7-Link Chain book so I can start doing money right. Or I'm going to watch the series, I promise to watch the series within the month. That's what we do for people that need money, so that you don't just get a fish, you learn how. Glory. And you know, sometimes people call and they're not going to necessarily get time from the pastors, so we have other leaders that we point people to. So be prepared that you're going to be sent to other people when you think you need the pastor who's speaking up here. No, you need somebody that knows. That's what you need. And sometimes it's better that you don't, that the pastor doesn't know what you're going through. So you do your best, and we'll help funnel the need to the right people. Like we have Reggie and Tanisha's over our family. Reggie and Tanisha stand up. I don't know if you know them. But we've taught them everything we know. And they are fully equipped to help families. They lead the family life, and they have events, and they have classes, and some of you need to be in those classes. They have marriage things, things for singles. They have things for raising kids. Some people think, you know, I need some help raising my kids, and we have an event, nobody comes. Like two people that don't even have kids come. Everybody else is busy. You got a whole life. It's like, oh, a little class. I don't know if I need all that. I know how to raise my kids. Okay. All right. Well, we have it. We have it. We have something for singles, and the single people are like, I don't know. I don't want it to be a meat market if I go to the thing. And I'm not even sure if I want to be married. That's not what it's for. Just go have some fun with people of like lifestyle. We have grow classes. Sister Keisha, many of you have been to the Grow classes. Keisha, Ken, the Harveys, Karina, the team. I mean, they're doing classes all the time. You ought to be in some of those. You make some friends, learn some things. We got plenty of stuff. You know, here's the problem. Everybody's so busy. Life's so busy. Media has taken up every ounce of spare time. And so we almost don't have time for one another anymore. We don't have time to put ourselves anywhere particular to make relationship and see people face to face. But I assure you, you need more than 1 minute clips for your spiritual growth. You need more than somebody screaming on a microphone. You need more than that. You need to sit under the Word of God. You need to be with some people sometime. Part of this God, part of your spiritual growth is you, number one, by yourself, with God, reading the Bible, listening or watching or reading a book, and just in your own personal space, allowing God to talk to you and minister to you so that you can contemplate, so that you can check your heart, so that you can acknowledge things between you and God personally. Personal time with Jesus. Every one of you need it. And that sometimes means turning off the phone. You don't need the next YouTube preacher. You don't need 1,500 different people saying things to you. That's, think about it. Take a step back and think how weird that is. You need a few different seasons. You have a few here and a few more, and then all of a sudden you realize 5 years later, well, I hadn't listened to them or gleaned from them in a long time. I guess that's okay. It's okay. In your growth with God, there'll be those that speak into your life, pastors or preachers or teachers or whatever. And then at some point, you know, maybe you have another, oh, I like this guy. I like this lady. They're really speaking to me. Yeah, God may ordain that for a moment. But we don't need to heap to ourselves teachers having itching ears, right? We have warning against it because it's kind of the tendency. Always looking for something. Well, I need to hear it done differently. I need to hear somebody else new. And that's really not the way you grow spiritually. Praise the Lord. We are going to read the Bible today, I suppose. But is this helping anybody? Yeah. Just so you know, we do have grow classes. If you've become a member here, we've actually sent out, when you become a member, we send out an email that has life essentials in it. A video list of things that we don't always get to talk about on Sundays, but we got it. We've taught it. We've explained it. We've got series on it so that you can learn ahead of time. Stuff about money, stuff about tongues. Like if you're a new person, you need to know about tongues pretty quickly, don't you? Tongues. Or singles or marriage. We've done lots of stuff here in the past, and so we make sure you know we have that because it may not be 6 months or 6 years before we teach specifically that again. Praise the Lord. You might need something on healing. We have tons of healing service stuff. You know, somebody needs healing. They're like, I need to talk to somebody. You don't need talking. The first thing you need, if you need to be healed by God, you don't need talking. You need to be in church. You need to come expecting and come up to this altar during prayer time expecting the power of God to heal you, expecting Jesus to meet you through a prayer partner or through a pastor. Come to church, come to the altar, and come forward with full expectation. I'm getting help today. That's what you need. But people don't know that. So what they think they need is somebody to talk to and explain, rehearse their problem to. That's not what you need. Amen. So usually if you're going to rehearse your problem, we're going to stop you at some point and say, wait a second. If you want help, here's how we're going to get it. We may do a little interview with you, but we don't need every detail. What we need is for you to know the truth so that you can open up to receive healing the moment we lay hands. If somebody can't make it to church, because that happens a lot, fine. The person who's sick or the family member who's in charge of that person who's sick needs to call us. Just call the office. And it may be the office staff that prays. It may be the pastors. We may send that phone call to some other leader in the church so that they can pray the prayer of faith over the phone and get the power of God to go through the phone line. I mean, you know there's power in the phone line. Let's add some God power to the phone line. Listen, we've seen that happen so often that people who will call in faith or just call thinking, man, they said they could help me. Make the phone call. Come forward. Come to church. That's what people need. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll send a video series on Meet Jesus the Healer. We have a bunch of healing series. Send that so their faith will rise a little bit. so their faith will rise enough to make the phone call. That's all we need. That's all Jesus needs. Just enough faith to leave the house and go press through the crowd. That's all Jesus needs. Glory. We have the fellowships. You need to be in the fellowships. Anytime the word fellowship is said, you need a chip. Better together. That's part of it. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. And what did it say? In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's koinonia. That's communion together. That's time together. That's sharing heart together. That's talking, getting to know one another. You know, television characters, you don't know them. Amen. Following the tabloids of your favorite Hollywood actors, you don't know them. Fellowship. We try to have enough fellowship here so you have some time. Then it says breaking of bread. They continued breaking of bread together. Then it goes on and talks about, and from house to house. So I know we can't make you go to each other's houses. These days, people don't want anybody in their house. I didn't clean, and so we can't have nobody over. Honey, I invited so-and-so over. You did what? I understand that people aren't going to each other's houses. Well, you can at least meet at the coffee shop. You can go to the restaurant. You can meet at church. Fellowshipping together. Then it says breaking of bread. There's something special about breaking bread, eating together. So you need to eat together. You need to go with somebody today and eat together. Breaking of bread is part of the gospel. Can you imagine? And that's why it's a phenomenon that Christians eat so much. Christians always eat. They've always eaten together. It's like, well, another function. We're going to eat together. Breaking of bread is special because we get to connect face to face over something very holy to God. Food is holy if it's received with thanksgiving and prayer. Isn't that right? It's one reason food is holy is because God has provided it. When he sent manna from heaven, that was very holy. That was him providing food. And that's the reason we do any kind of praying. It's to thank God for providing for me. That's very special, especially when there's a drought, especially 150 years ago when we didn't have refrigerators. Isn't that right? Especially when life was way harder and depended on rain. I mean, it still kind of depends on rain, but not nearly as big of an impact if it doesn't rain for a month or two. So breaking of bread is part of it. Now, we can't as a church be a full-time cafeteria. That's not the function. So you have to find ways to connect with people time and time again over food. Special meetings. We have special meetings at church. I mean, how much do you really want the church involved in your life? How much do you want to be involved in church? How much do you want God involved in your life? How much do you want his word involved? I mean, to get God involved, you're going to have to follow his word. To be close to Jesus, you're going to have to walk closely to his word. It's just the way it is. But you and I have to make a decision. How much do I want this to be part of my life? At least 4 or 5 people. I'm excited about that. What about serving? The serve teams, you know, signing up to serve and volunteer here helps you connect with people. I don't really want to be around people. Well, I know, but do it anyway. Yeah, but then, oh my gosh, then I'm going to be accountable. I have to come to church, you know, I'll be on a schedule or something. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's what you need. You need somebody to tell you where to be because you're not being in the right spot. Well, I don't know. We never did it like that. We just showed up somewhere, you know. They did all the work. We just showed up a little bit and, you know, and enjoyed it a little bit. Just say we did it, got our points in heaven. You didn't get no points. And apparently nothing took. Praise the Lord. oh man, I was gonna do something totally different today. This was supposed to be like a 5-minute excerpt. I wanted to go read the book. Let's go to the book of Luke and maybe I'll get to read some stuff here. I just wanted you to help you feel what a local church is all about. And that we've tried to provide every single thing we possibly need here. Because we all need a lot. God's planned it for us if we can do it right. And then the final thing in that scripture was they continued together breaking bread and in prayers.
Right.
So we do need to pray together. So we got all these different prayer times so that people can find a way to pray together. There's something powerful that happens and you make friends. And at least I know the Tuesday morning group, they go to lunch together. So that's a good time to go eat together. But the Bible says that we're supposed to love one. It says this a lot, that we're supposed to do something to one another.
Right.
We've said this before, but you know the Bible talks about you doing something to one another. There's a bunch of do good things to one another, and then there's some don't do this to one another. What's the big deal? You know, I live by myself anyway. That's why I live by myself. So I don't have to mess with any one another. Yeah, but Christians have to mess with one another. It's part of our growth together in the body, that we grow together into a holy temple in the Lord. So you got, part of being a Christian is that you commit to the family. So that you can love one another, so you can serve one another. And these are all scriptures, so you can submit to one another, so you can instruct one another, so you can encourage one another. So much the more to assemble as you see the day approaching, that you comfort one another, help one another, forgive one another, be kindly affectionate toward one another, give preference to one another, be of the same mind toward one another, bear with one another, have compassion on one another, be hospitable to one another, have fellowship with one another, pray for one another. Then it says, do not bite and devour one another. I mean, you'd think it'd be bad if we were biting and devouring sinners out there. The problem is Christians have bitten and devoured their own people. Do not lie to one another. Do not envy one another. Do not grumble against one another. Do not judge one another. Praise the Lord. One preacher said this. He said, the Christian life is not just our own private affair. If we have been born again into God's family, not only has he become our father, but every other Christian believer in the world, whatever his nation or denomination, has become our brother or sister in Christ. But it's no good supposing that membership of the universal church of Christ is enough. We must belong to some local branch of it. Every Christian's place is in a local church, sharing in its worship, its fellowship, and its witness. Glory to God. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Yes.
Glory to God. And if you want to be a good friend, here's how you do it. You have to have right priorities. First, Jesus, then others, and then yourself. If you can keep self third, you'll be a good friend. And I know that your friends want you to be here every Sunday. Somebody's looking for you. Somebody needs you. Somebody wants you. And if you don't feel loved and nobody even knows that you weren't here, it's because you don't know enough people. It's because you're not sitting in the same spot. Some people don't sit in the same spot, so nobody knows they weren't here. Look. We know all the psychological tricks, okay? Humans create all sorts of psychological tricks. You sit somewhere else, but you want to go make sure the people know that you're here, so you walk over to see the people. Look, that's fine with me because everybody needs to know you're here. And a lot of times people sit in the back, I can't see them, I never get to them. It's like, I need to know you're here, so come up and see me. Why? Because it helps me. It helps me see. It helps us see each other. There's something special in the love of God that takes place, some spark between us when we know that we're all here in the name of the Lord Jesus. We all gave up a Sunday morning or 500 in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's special. Again, a lot of this is, I mean, some aspects of Christianity is so that you can receive some things from God. The other aspect is so that you can obey God, so that you can be able to give of your life on this earth. That's what you're here for, is to give your life. You're not here just to get things from God. Amen. You're here to give. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, is that good?
Yeah.
Y'all ready to go home? Praise the Lord. I'll do a couple of these that I had planned. I just wanted to kind of walk through some of the words of Jesus, particularly in the book of Luke, and just say a few things about them. You know, we do this occasionally. We'll take a whole book of the Bible, and we'll just teach it line upon line. We've been doing that with Ephesians on Wednesday nights, just line upon line, hitting every subject, every topic, saying something about everything, and all of a sudden you leave thinking, wow, this kingdom is big. Wow, so many things have blessed me tonight. Rather than just one topic, sometimes we take one topic and we teach it all service. Other times you take a bunch of different. So let's just take a bunch of different for a moment and see some doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as, we'll do this as long as everybody's committed to the Lord in here. Is everybody committed to the Lord?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Luke chapter 6, verse 1. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first, he went through the grain fields. And his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. Raw corn or wheat or whatever it was. And some of the Pharisees said to them, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Because the Sabbath law from the law of Moses was you cannot go gather your food if it's the Sabbath day. You had to do that prior to the Sabbath, cook before the Sabbath so that you did no work on the Sabbath. That was their law, so that they would be forced to commemorate their escape from Egypt together. But Jesus answering said, have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. What's Jesus doing? He's saying, look, don't you remember even in the law, under the law, when David and his men were hungry during their travel between wars, that they plucked and ate on the Sabbath? Don't you remember that? That's what he's saying. Don't you remember that? Giving credence to the fact that God doesn't have a problem with you working on the Sabbath. That was not part, the law was not so that it could command people. It was for man to have a day of rest and to keep fresh in their heart of the truth of their escape. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That means Jesus and men, people, can decide what they want to do on the Jewish Sabbath day. Make sense? Jesus just saying, hey, look, I can heal on the Sabbath. That's my work. That's the works I came to do. I can heal on the Sabbath because things are changing. Things are changing. And if you'd have been wise, you'd have known that they weren't even important in the Old Testament. They were part of the law, but they weren't part of life today. That wasn't the full plan. So anyway, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, he tells them the parable of the sower. Sower sows the word, some's on good ground, some people listen well, some people don't listen well. Some people receive it and it brings harvest, some people don't receive it well and it dries up by Monday morning. But then he says, verse 18, therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Wow, that almost doesn't seem right. It's like if you don't have, it should be given to you. No, he says, take heed how you hear. If you're hearing well and very open, he'll give you more. If you're closing off right about 12 noon, like, oh, that's too much for me, he's going to take what you do have. Now, there might be some value in having shorter services here and there, but at the same time, it wouldn't hurt you to have a longer service. It wouldn't hurt to stretch. Some people come to Houston Faith Church, we normally have about an hour and 55-minute services. Some of you are thinking, I think it's about 2 hours and 5 minutes, sir. Clock watchers know exactly how long our church services are. But listen, on one hand, that shouldn't be a problem. You need some time in the congregation with the Lord, with the word being preached, with the Holy Spirit. You need some time to get it. It doesn't hurt you. You got plenty of leisure time out there. I mean, you can look at your phone all day. Some of you are doing it in church. We only allow that if you're looking up the Astros score when necessary. Just kidding. You gotta watch the fantasy football players. So just take heed how you hear. Make sure that you're enjoying, open, liking it. Because if you don't have any capacity for God's word, he's going to give you less and less and less and less and less and less. So go home today and say, Lord, I need more capacity. I need to be able to hear you more. I want to know more. I need more revelation. Help me, God. Help me. I want to sit at your feet longer. Because sitting at his feet is necessary for your happiness. Glory. All right, go to another one here. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23, he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Wow, stop there. Here he says, if you want to follow Jesus, anyone desires to come after me, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, the cross represents sacrifice, okay? But he's not talking about sacrificing your chocolate or sacrificing something that you like. He's talking about giving up your self-will. It's actually harder to give up your self-will than chocolate, okay? So he's not asking you to sacrifice time. He's asking you to sacrifice your will. Well, I gave up 5 hours to go serve at the such and such. He's not asking you for that. He's asking you to give up that attitude. The cross represents giving up self-will. He consecrated. He said, I don't want to do this, Lord, but if it's the only way, I'll go to the cross. That's when he says, take up your cross, he's not saying have a physical infirmity. Some people have said that. They got some problem in life. They say, I guess this is my cross to bear. God's given me this terrible problem. I guess this is my cross. That's not what he's talking about. The cross you're to bear. When he says take up the cross, it's not because you have an accidental physical problem or some suffering in the earth. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about you give up your life, hang yourself on that cross and serve me. Hang up yourself on that cross, deny yourself and come after me. Because if you don't lose your life, giving up your self-will, you can't have his life. If you want to find a successful Christian, or anytime you think you see a successful Christian, like somebody who inspires you to be a better Christian, here's why. It's because they consecrated their life. They truly gave up their life. They truly somehow lost their life and they found life. Amen. And if you feel like your Christianity is not succeeding, it's because you haven't done that. You're holding on to something in there. You got something that's way too precious to you. Could be time, could be family, could be your reputation, could be money, could be job, it could be whatever thing that you thought was more important than Jesus. I've seen people skip Jesus for hunting and fishing. I mean, I used to travel around, I'd preach to, you know, all these different churches, and there were several pastors. They're like, yeah, well, he's a great leader, but as soon as hunting season gets here, he's gone. Can't use him. That hunter should have given up his Sundays to serve God. Hunt on Saturday. God's not trying to take every hobby away. He's just saying, first do his stuff. Well, God's alive on Saturdays too. Yeah, but the people aren't assembled every Saturday, so you can't serve anybody. So you have to limit how many times you neglect the body of Christ. There's lots of mercy. Everybody needs vacation. Everybody, you know. Anyway, you got to lose your life for his sake. And everybody's thinking, oh my gosh, it was going so well until until there's something asked of me. Yeah, I know. I know how it feels. But what profit is you if you get the whole world and have a wonderful weekend and lose your soul or lose your reward in heaven? You're saved. You know, you don't have to go to church to be saved. I got that on T-shirts. You don't have to go to church to be saved. Good job, bud. Good job. That's a great truth to promote. So what about the other scripture? It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. And so much more, assemble so much more as you get closer to the end. Praise the Lord. All right, Luke 11, verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his, it's not even for him, it's just for him to be able to serve somebody. A friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give up and give to you. It's okay for children to sleep in the same room with the parents. That's just a parenting tip. At least for a little while. Now, if they're 12, I cannot rise and give. Some of the parents are thinking, oh my gosh, I'm glad the kids aren't in here. You're right. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise up and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he'll rise and give him as many as he needs. Isn't that amazing? Here, I got a friend. He needs something from me, but he's bothering me. But he's my friend, and so if he keeps bothering me, I'll do it. And so he's likening this unto us and God. So I said, you ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread of any father among you, will he give him a stone? No. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you a devil. If you ask for something good, he's not going to give you something bad. I remember a story that Jerry Savelle told. He said when he was a teenager, he wasn't walking with God, wasn't saved. But he knew that people prayed, and so he prayed to God before his junior year, I think. He said, Lord, let me, I want to break the pole vaulting record here at school. He said the first pole vault that he attempted, he broke his leg, or broke his arm. He said, that ended my prayer life. He said, I asked God to help me break the pole vaulting record, and he broke my arm. Doesn't work that way. So if you ask God for something good, and you broke your arm, those aren't connected. He didn't break your arm. He asked for something good. He's not going to give you something. Well, this is God's way of answering. No. We all know that being well is better than being sick. If you ask for something good like being well, he's not going to make you sick or make you worse or kill you. Well, I asked him to heal me, and so he killed me, and I went to heaven so I could be healed. The point is, persistence will cause the door to open. Why doesn't God answer the first time? I don't know. There's something about this faith life where it's like, let's just see if you're really determined. It's almost like God knows you're going to ask for about 1,000 flippant things in your life. Okay, 50,000 flippant things. God, I want this, do this, do this. Like you're putting him to work all day, every day. God, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this. He knows you're going to do that. Just like your kids. Your kids ask you for all sorts of stuff all the time, right? I mean, they think it, they say it. They see it, they want it. Can I have that? No. Can I have that? Can I have that? But when your kid starts you know, kind of focusing in, honing in on something that they really want, they're going to bug you about it, right? And they're going to bother you day after day or whatever, depending on the nature of it, and they're going to keep saying it. Maybe it's not, you know, a constant chatter. Maybe it's every other week or two they're reminding you. That's what they're going to get for their birthday, you understand? Whatever you're persistent in is what God's going to be able to answer for you. It doesn't mean that you have a long time. You don't have to ask forever. This is just a one-night thing. He finally opened the door. It didn't take that long. It's persistence. As soon as God sees the intensity of your heart, the determination of your heart, your persistent faith can open that door pretty quickly. It's like He knows your heart. He knows if you're going to stay knocking or not. He knows if you're going to knock temporarily and give up. He knows if you're going to be in full faith or in half faith and half doubt. He knows if you're going to stay at that front door knocking till He opens. I got a promise here. I see a promise, God. I'm expecting that. And you just stay there until He opens. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I got a promise. You'll meet all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, I'm not worried. I receive the answer from you. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He knows if your heart's in faith or not. He knows as soon as you start knocking if you're going to be in faith. He knows how long you're going to knock before you know. He also knows if you're going to half knock. It's like you go to a friend's house. You ever done this? You go to somebody's house, you knock on the door, see if they're home. And they don't, and you know, you knock, and you, and within 2 seconds, you're like, well, they're not here. I'm going. No, you give them a chance. You knock again, make sure they heard. Knock again, make sure they know it's you. Look through the peephole, make sure they know it's you. Push the ring. Nobody knocks, and then in 2 seconds, oh, they're not here. Runs to the back door, knocks on the back door, not here. Runs to the front door, not. The owner of the house is going, persistent. Stay at one door. Pick a door. With God. Pick a request. Decide that's what you want. Find a scripture. Stay at it till you get it. Well, God, if you want to heal me, go ahead and heal me. But if not, I'll take whatever you give me. Whatever way that you want to do it. Well, decide which way. Go after God. And just know that this passage of scripture for me was life-changing. This passage. And in Matthew 7, same passage. For me, it changed my early Christianity. It was like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Anything I ask. Oh, wow. I can have the Holy Spirit. This is what helped me get filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, if I ask for the Holy, oh, wow. I get to have the Holy Spirit. How much more would He give me the Holy Spirit if I ask? Glory. If He give me egg and good stuff here and there, how much more? Eggs and fish are good, but Holy Spirit's better. I get the Holy Spirit. And so I love it when I see people who have decided I can have the Holy Spirit. I'm coming for the Holy Spirit. Like, I've had a hard time receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and having some power. But I see my Heavenly Father will not withhold the Holy Spirit from me. I see that the Lord will not withhold good things. He will not withhold any good thing to those that fear Him. I see that. So this just changed my life. I thought, everybody that had a problem, I'm like, you're not asking. The Bible says, I was taking me. The Bible says, if you ask, you receive. I mean, just, you know, like a rookie Christian, they'll believe the Bible. Oh, no. It says right here, if you just knock, it'll be opened. So apparently you hadn't really knocked. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? That's because the Bible's exciting. That's because Jesus' words are exciting. That's because Jesus showed us the Father. That's exciting. That's because the entrance of His words give light. That's because there's life in his word. He's the resurrection and the life. The word of God, the word written on the pages, is actually Jesus. It's to bear witness of Jesus. It's to bring you to Jesus. It's to introduce you to the person of God. He told the Pharisees that. He said, you think that you have eternal life in the scriptures. He said, but those scriptures are they which testify of me. The goal of the word of God is to bring you to the person of God. They're connected. They're the same. But this is not just about you learning some pages of instruction or rules. This is to bring you to the Holy One. The reason that we need to be told to ask is so that we can get to the Father and receive the blessing. So that we can get close enough in our own soul to know it's true and to experience what he said. It's not just about getting some bread for your friend. Sure, that's nice. Sure, my friend's not mad at me anymore and I can go back to bed. So yes, he will answer those prayer requests that make life more convenient. But you got to go deeper than convenience. You got to recognize that God answering a prayer request is the blessing itself. Sure, it's nice if your leg quit hurting. It's even better when you get healed knowing that God did it. My Heavenly Father did a miracle for me. Wow, all of a sudden, man, he does love me. Somehow you get blessed and after you know that you did something by faith, it's like, wow, God really did what he said. Other times you get blessed and poured on all sorts of ways. It's like, well, thank God for it. But it wasn't quite as direct. You follow me? Well, you need to glorify and thank God no matter what. But at the same time, there's some special moments when you get that door opened. When you seek and you find. Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.